Hey, I won't bug you too much. There are a few ways you can support the Brad and Britt cast. One of them is to shop at our Amazon store. That's shop.bradandbritt.com. Many of you have been doing this, and we certainly appreciate it. Doesn't change the price of the stuff you're buying at shop.bradandbritt.com. You can donate via PayPal. That's at Brad and Britt. On Venmo, it's BBcast. And on Cash App, it's BDUB336, BDUB336. And another great way to support us is to give us a five-star review, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify, wherever, just give us a five-star review.
Brad and Britt, Brad and Britt, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Britt.
It is the Brad and Britt cast, last one for this week, and then we come back next week, and the world will have changed, and we'll be here for you.
That's right.
We're here for you. We're here for you. You want to play a pick from the big three here, Britt?
I'd love to. Give me my choices.
All right. Let's see. Mick Jagger pours brown sugar down the drain. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the one that flew on January 6th at the Trump rally. Or Dr. Sanjay Gupta steps into the octagon of obnoxiousness with Joe Rogan.
Let's do Dr. Gupta and his appearance on the Joe Rogan podcast from Austin, Texas, exclusively on Spotify.
Right. So, I mean, I didn't listen to it. I just saw a little bit of coverage on CNN. And of course, they're going to skew it to make it look like Gupta won, right? Because that's what they're going to do. They're never going to give in. Anyway, so he's on with Joe Rogan, who, even if you don't listen to him, you kind of know who he is, what he's about. He is that guy who broke through in podcasting by being such a fucking piece of shit that, of course, in America, who gets rewarded the most right now? Fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Okay. They might get elected president.
They were just forced to pay him millions upon millions upon millions of dollars.
Exactly. So he's got a big following of the bro culture, right? Would he be the podcasting king of the bro culture?
He's the king of the aggrieved white males. He's that guy. Sure.
All right. Okay. And he's made headlines the last few months back and forth over the issue of getting vaccinated. He got coronavirus himself and immediately, in the grand tradition of Donald Trump, pronounced himself stronger than Hercules, and it didn't touch him. And then didn't he list, you know, all the remedies that are not really available to most people that cured him? And he even played the eye game, the ivermectin game. I mean, he's done all that shit, and he didn't need no goddamn vaccine, all right? Wasn't going to fall for that shit, because that's a plot. So Dr. Sanjay Gupta goes on his program earlier this week, and it was 3 hours non-stop. The octagon was closed. You could not leave. No bathroom breaks, no nothing. And they went. And now, Dr. Gupta, we've all seen him a million times. I don't think there's anybody that is more even-tempered in the face very often of some pretty outrageous statements and situations that he's found himself in on TV over the years. Is that a fair way to characterize him? I mean, he's a cool cucumber, isn't he?
Yeah, he completely. His temperament is always even. He's an even-keeled guy all the time.
Right. So when I read his account of the time that he had with Joe Rogan, he went out of his way to say that this was a civil conversation, a civil conversation. And for the most part, Rogan, of course, came away, you know, still unvaccinated and still not vowing to get vaccinated. Although he admitted that a couple of months ago, he was out, I think, in Las Vegas, and he was ready to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And then played the, well, scheduling came up. I couldn't get to the, that's an issue anymore, or if it's been an issue for many, many months.
There's a lot of rumors that he is lying about not being vaccinated, by the way. There's a lot of people that are saying he actually is vaccinated and is lying his ass off about it.
I would say And again, we go to Vegas and make this bet, or maybe make a bet with one of the Irish. I would bet about 10 to 1 that you're right.
And it was probably well before Vegas, but it works out well for him and his audience for him to lie about getting the vaccine. But please,
well, wait a minute. No. If he had been vaccinated a long time ago and then he got it, he would be screaming that, it doesn't work.
You can't do that because you can't tell your audience that. No, remember that time I told you that it was stupid to get vaccinated? Well, I actually did, and now I'm sick. So you can't do that. You can't do that to your audience.
I think he would elevate proof that it doesn't work.
Agree to disagree, because I just believe he just gets more mileage out of lying about being vaccinated.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. But he did tell Gupta that a couple of months ago, and I can't tell whether that was right before he actually caught it or maybe right after. I don't know that he was close to getting it.
Well, come on. I mean, he's lying.
That doesn't count.
That.
I know. It doesn't count.
My God, the guy's just a pile of lies. I'm so obviously. Jesus Christ. I was so close to doing it. Oh, but the blackjack table over at Caesars.
Britt, I have an argument that would crush you, but I have a little tickle in my throat that I can't get the argument out. I can't get it out. I'm so close to crushing you.
It's difficult in Vegas. You have to do things because they're on a certain schedule. Things close down very early, and if you want to go see things and shows and go to the tables, you have to do it right before 7, because if you don't, you'll never be able to play.
And as I say some of these things and you counter them, I'm believing more and more that your version of, just like with Trump, everything he says is a lie, is a dodge, is an obfuscation of the truth in order to gain an audience and make money. So therefore there it is. So I give full credit to Dr. Gupta for going in there and talking to him, because I think Gupta will say it's not really the most important thing, whatever the fuck Joe Rogan does based on a 3-hour conversation. It's that he was able to say all of the things to a Joe Rogan audience that they do not normally hear, that they do not tune into, and
that's not been the takeaway. The takeaway is this. This is a Washington Examiner headline. This is what all of them are running with, including Fox News. Well, he got him to admit CNN never should have called ivermectin a horse drug. So the Joe Rogan wins.
Well,
in your
by the
face.
Way, I disagree. It is a horse drug.
I agree. I don't know why Sanjay. I'm sorry. I love Dr. Gupta, but Jesus Christ.
I don't know why he backed down on that at all. Because it is primarily. Let me ask you this. What medicine is it that you take that primarily has to be obtained from a veterinarian or from Tractor Supply?
I'll wait while you formulate your answer.
Right. Exactly. No.
So that's a big win. He nails the other thing that they're running down the field was, he nailed him on that Wuhan thing, that Fauci connection to the Wuhan thing, man. Right. Right. So it's that, again, he did say things to them, but the takeaway, they're going to run down the field with those two things.
Oh, they can run down the field all you want. But remember, this is I hate to say that it's a long-term project here to get everybody vaccinated, but it's a kind of a short-term project here to punch through the veil that surrounds people who just don't want to hear anything other than what they hear from who they think are trusted members of the media or friends, people like Joe Rogan, who tell them one thing and one thing only, and they really don't have the facts. So I say it's a complete win in terms of that. If the goal is to still get more people to think twice about maybe thinking that Joe Rogan is not America's number one medical professional who should be listened to when it comes to affairs of the body.
I think he made an idiotic comment, well, among others, but I think he said something like, Sanjay was like, why don't you get the vaccine? He goes, because my immune system's better off without the vaccine. And it was holy shit, dude. Are you really that stupid? By the way, speaking of media experts when it comes to COVID, Tucker Carlson completely dodges when asked about Fox News vaccine policy. I'm not qualified to speak for the company. What are you Nobody qualified to do? Talk about frozen dinners? Yeah. You dick.
Yeah. See, but when you learn that,
yeah,
and then you match it up with what we were just talking about, yeah, these are all vaccinated people who are acting in the worst faith possible, bad faith, the worst faith to try to keep corralling whatever it is they think is their audience or their core listenership or their core viewership. And it is not relevant that that is going to cost X percentage of them their lives or their livelihoods or their families' lives. That is not relevant here because the number 700,000, by the way, no question about it, on its way to a million. There is no way that we're not going to get to.
I wish I could say otherwise. I wish I could tell you, no, you're wrong, but no, it's on its way.
Even at the rate that we're at right now, even if it drops by half, this is a permanent feature of you know, the planet, but certainly the United States as the worst vaccinated country in terms of percentage of its citizens of any quote unquote rich country, our peer group.
Yeah.
You know, we went from the best to the worst. Britt, I don't know about you, but I was at a couple radio stations. We went from worst to first. We were at the bottom of the rankings. We went from first to worst.
I was always first to worst. So I always turned it the other way.
Yeah.
There was a sliver of time. I want to remind people, like January, February, we started rolling out and we were doing a decent job of rolling out. And there were people in Canada that were actually jealous of the United States. They're like, well, this is pretty good. You guys are really getting this out here. We're kind of struggling up here in Canada. And then ever since then, from March on, they've kicked our ass 6 ways till Sunday. So,
but remember, at the beginning, it was essentially because, you know, we had most of the vaccine.
Exactly.
And it wasn't so delightful, Britt, in February, March, April. That was when you had to fight and scramble. To get an appointment, to stand maybe in line for a long time.
Those were very good times.
I would never say that we were at the head of the pack.
I was hearing stuff from Canada. There were Canadians up there. We were like, man, the U.S. healthcare system has always been a sham to us, but they're actually doing this right. Of course, again, that lasted all of 30 days, 45 days, and then the Canadians easily caught up and then kicked our ass, as they do in most things healthcare-wise.
Hang on a second. I think you're downplaying the importance of the reason that we started to lose whatever lead we had and why we continue to it's all politics.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just clicheing saying, this shouldn't be about politics. It's about health.
Right.
We are the only country. We are the only country on earth where this is primarily a political issue that has split the country. And why is that? Because primarily of one person, Donald Trump, and no other country had Donald Trump as their president. We're special. We had him. And his stench lingers on. It's there. And as long as you have acolytes like Joe Rogan out there saying the things that they do, and again, it doesn't matter what good Sanjay Gupta did, as always, you know, the number of people who didn't hear that is infinitesimally larger than the number of people who did hear it. And even among his audience, everybody probably doesn't listen every day. So, but collectively, this is punching through. And so we have the country, you know, on its way by a million or so more a day. And remember, when you have a population of 330 million, a million a day, you know, it's going to get there. It's just getting there slower than we thought. It just is. And I'm glad to see he did it. It was a good thing. It was just a good thing. You got to go talk. You got to go talk to these people. We can't just talk to each other about it.
I just think the takeaway for a lot of the Joe Rogan fans is Joe kicked his ass. I think that's going to be. If there's one person,
it doesn't matter, Britt. You know what? That doesn't matter.
Well, I think that, to a great
that doesn't
extent,
matter because you know this is the Barry Goldwater slide. In your heart, you know Joe Rogan is full of shit. And even people who even people who would follow him over a cliff, blindfolded in a car with their best friend at a certain level, when their brother dies, when their child dies, when their father dies, you hate to think that that's what might do it. And I say might because that automatically doesn't do it, clearly, for a lot of people. I don't care that my brother died. I'm not taking it. We know there are those people out there. We know they're there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag that was flown in January at the Trump insurrection rally.
All right. Here you go. In Virginia, the guy who's running as the Republican, what a hunk of crap he is. Yeah. You see where they found this guy? Yeah. You see, I don't know whether he's a hedge fund guy or, you know, he's one of those, you know, he's zillions of dollars, and he's spending his own money to run for governor of Virginia because he cares about America that much, right? One of these.
Right.
His name is Glenn Youngkin, Youngkin.
Yeah.
Youngkin. So the flag that was flying at the January 6th rally, and very possibly may have been used to beat officers, it was used at a Glenn Youngkin rally the other day. Salute that flag, because obviously the symbolism doesn't have to be explained. And this is a guy who is such a hypocrite and a disingenuous load of dung that he is trying to navigate with one foot on one side, saying, stop talking about Donald Trump. I never mentioned Donald Trump. On the other side, I've got Donald Trump's endorsement. In fact, at my rally, let's salute the flag that under which, had things gone the way Donald Trump wanted it, he would have overturned the election and overturned the framework of the United States of America's federal government and remained in office as a dictator for life. He's trying to play both ends against the middle here. And then when Terry McAuliffe brings it up at a debate, his response is, you've said Donald Trump 11 times, Terry. Don't you have anything else to say? All right, so it's one of those kind of campaigns. So if you want to step back and go, well, is this an avatar for what we have to deal with all across the country, here, there, everywhere, in every race? Is every race now nationalized to the point where the Republican who's running will either be judged as Trumpy enough for Trump people to come out and vote for him, or independent enough away from Trump that he has a chance to peel off a few Democrats, maybe, not likely, but every Democrat is going to be able to run and say, you're Trump. I mean, is that going to be every race at every level? I think it is.
I can't think of one that it's not going to be. I mean, off the top of my head, I'd like to say, no, that's going to be the deal. And I mean, I think it's legitimate. You, as a Republican, you should have to answer, do you think that Donald Trump lost the election in 2020? Do you think that voter fraud was used by Joe Biden and he is an illegitimate president? That's number one. And do you think that what happened on January the 6th was insurrection against our government, the violent overthrow? And do you think that Donald Trump is at least partially responsible for that? Everybody who's, you have to either own it or don't. We can't even have a discussion if you can't somehow answer those two questions. Those are very important questions that any Republican running for office is going to have to answer.
Yeah, and you could actually ask those in even more of a pointed way.
Yeah, of course.
You shouldn't even give them the chance to say, no, Donald Trump had nothing to do with it. I would probably frame it, since Donald Trump attempted and has been documented to have attempted to orchestrate the overthrow of the United States government and overturn a free and fair election in 2020, do you still support him in his effort to continue to undermine the United States of America? I mean, I would ask it that way. I would not
as obnoxiously as possible. Sure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, because, you know, here we are, as we are doing our little Brad and Britcast today, we've got a breaker here on Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon. They are going to hold Bannon in criminal contempt. Criminal contempt for saying fuck you to the subpoena that he's been issued by the House Select Committee investigating January 6th. Criminal contempt. So this is where you fire up your Tommy Lee Jones costume. It's federal marshals, U.S. marshals. They're going to probably come after him, probably to probably arrest him. And I guess that's what he wants, right?
He wants the perp walk.
Theater.
Oh, my God. Now, are you kidding?
Now, you know who wanted it also that way? Roger Stone. Okay.
Yeah.
Remember that? And you know, they raided his house. Actually, they didn't raid it. They politely knocked, but he's called it a raid. See,
That's their language.
That's a mistake.
Yeah.
They did not drag him out of his house. And Bannon wants the same thing. The great thing about Bannon, though, he's already looking like a disheveled hobo. He's got the central casting thing down. When they perp walk him out of his house or his apartment, wherever.
I don't know if he's gotten the message that we're getting haircuts now. The COVID thing is, it's okay. You can go into Great Clips or something with a mask on. I don't know if he got the message, but yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somehow looking like he's looking like he's the bass player for a reunion of Bread or something. I don't know what he's doing there. I'm not sure.
Baby, I'm going to want you. Baby, I'm going to need you. Maybe you're going to jail. Yeah. 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 Mark Meadows and Cash Patel. But that's not his. He has a long name. They very often shorten them. Both scheduled to appear before the end of the week. And we're just about to the end of the week. And they're going to get a continuance, might get an extension for whatever reason. And then Dan Scavino, that fraud who was apparently the guy who wrote a lot of Trump's tweets. He was the communications guy, the tweet guy.
What an asshole. Holy
and
cow.
His subpoena has been delayed also. So that's fine. If they can just zero in on Bannon. You know, that would be just fine with me. Just start with Bannon. You know, make him the example. Make him the example. And the utter temerity, the arrogance, the idiocy of trying to proclaim that a former president has the same level of power and executive privilege the current president. It's so brazenly horrendous that it had to be answered this way. You have to go after him in a way that, as you probably read and heard, the Congress has never done this. They have never gone this far when someone ignores one of their subpoenas. They always figure out a way to negotiate something, you know, something, or they let it go. Or in a case of during the Trump administration, you had a Justice Department that was never going to go after anybody.
No.
Right.
No.
John Bolton, line four, you know,
they'll go to Hillary's lawyers if they're ever subpoenaed. Yeah. I mean, they'll chase them down to the ends of the earth. Right.
Right. Yeah. Back then. Yeah. Yeah. So, they pledged allegiance to the flag that flew over the Capitol on January 6th. I can't even begin to understand how they got a hold of it, by the way. How did that happen?
Senator Colliff does have a slim lead in Virginia. Do you hold out any hope that he's going to continue, that he's going to be reelected?
Yes.
Yeah.
First of all, he's not going to be reelected. He'd be elected, but
I thought he was already the governor, isn't he already the governor? Isn't Terry McAuliffe?
No. You, first of all, you can't run for two consecutive terms.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, that's north. That's correct.
Right.
They always turn.
Ralph Blackface Northam is.
That's obnoxious of you too.
I'm sorry. They called me. They wanted me to sit in for Jesse Waters today on the 5. So I thought I'd use
Joe Rogan on line 3 wants to know if you come in, Brad. Do the show real quick. It'd be fine.
Right.
Stones on tour at a massive stadium near you. They were just in Charlotte a couple of weeks ago here, and were entertaining for all. The Rolling Stones saying goodbye, or at least giving a rest to their classic brown sugar, Brad. That is the story that you wish to highlight.
Yeah, and you know what? I say good for them. I say good for them. And here's why. Because imagine if this story read the other way. Rolling Stones dig in. Say, we're going to continue to play brown sugar. Fuck all you. They could be like, you know, Mick Jagger could be the John Gruden of rock and say, I never meant to offend anybody.
Here's our good friend. Welcome to the stage, Eric Clapton. You have him come in.
Yeah.
Do his thing as well. Yeah, they could be that way.
Right. So, you know, of course, brown sugar, I believe, you know, there are these people that do these tabulations of every set that the Stones have ever played at every concert. Yeah. And I believe brown sugar is like number one or number two. I mean, Jumpin' Jack Flash gets played every time, all the mega hits. And, you have to go back to 19. I think that was from 71. So we're talking about 50 years. And, my first thought is, it's like Bernie Madoff. You know, he had a good 40-year run of stealing money and ripping people off. Okay, yeah. His last 10 years sucked, okay? Yeah. But he got away with it.
So 50 years of brown sugar is pretty good. You got a lot of mileage out of that.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Just to refresh your memory on the lyrics, Gold Coast slave ship bound for cotton fields, sold in the market down in New Orleans. Scarred old slaver knows what he's doing all right. Hear him whip the women just around midnight. Drums beating, cold English blood runs hot. Lady of the house wondering when it's going to stop. Houseboy knows what he's doing all right. You should hurt him just around midnight. These are some of the offending lyrics that may not, in context, be quite as welcoming as they were, as you say, in 1971 or 73. Those are some of the things that...
Actually, you know, this hasn't just been noticed in the last 6 months.
Yeah, but it's been they were playing it the whole time and decided not a good idea,
right? And I don't know how you listen to music, but in a case like this, I have to tell you I haven't thought about or even listened, to the lyrics of the song, and even if I did, it hardly ever connected with me.
No.
In that way. And again, you know, is Mick Jagger a racist?
No,
I don't think so. Does Mick Jagger have a history of liking black women? Yes, sir.
Well, sure.
And is that all incorporated into the song at some level? And you're supposed to get a but here's the problem. This is the one problem with the Stones, I think, doing the right thing. That's fine for them to retire. That's fine. That's just fine. Welcome to
Halloween. Well, there were actually two different, like when Keith Richards said it, he said, yeah, we kind of, and then Mick goes, yeah, I'm just, you know, we're going to tuck it away for a little bit. Because Keith Richards was approached with it and they go, oh, you noticed that. You notice we're not playing that in the show. Well,
there's two things hanging out there over this. Number one, what does radio do? What does classic rock radio do? Do they keep playing it? If it's not good enough, if it's unsuitable by the artists themselves to play in public right now and maybe forever, do they just knock that song out of the rotation? And by the way, hardly anyone would really notice because they have so many other songs. And that could be the way they do it. Or do they keep playing it? We're not going to give in. Not going to give in to the Jackal Pack. Not going to give in to the politically correct ninnies. We're not going to give in to Black Lives Matter. We're not going to be whatever you want. You're going to be that? Is that the classic rock audience now? No, I don't think so.
Well, the game they always, you know, the game that the folks who are, this is again, the people who scream cancel culture, it's again, it's right-wing Tourette's.
What?
Their game always is, well, okay, no brown sugar. What's next? What are you going to ban next? And they go through the list.
Right, but your quick argument is nobody banned it.
Yeah.
They decided not to play it.
Exactly.
And again, But you're right. It will be portrayed that way.
Right.
But nobody banned it. But here's the real problem. What are the chances that when Donald Trump finishes his next rally, the minute he stops talking, Brown Sugar will be the song that gets played?
As he brings John Gruden to the stage, America's coach, no, John
forget,
Gruden.
Forget Gruden.
No, there's a real chance. This is the fork in the road in John Gruden's career. He either embraces being the poster boy for Donald Trump's America.
But can we just stay within the realm of reality that we know is true? Because Donald Trump kind of illegally and by thumbing his nose at the Stones kept playing "You Can't Always Get What You Want."
Exactly. And they hated it. And there's nothing that could be done about it.
And as far as I can tell, this year he switched over to Macho Man by the Village People,
which was bizarre. Why did
this weekend? This weekend in Iowa, past weekend, it was Macho Man by the Village People. And it, again, have fun psychoanalyzing that one. Okay,
because remember what he
walks around clapping his hands in his suit, waving at people.
It's a bit of a gay anthem, isn't it? Hasn't it always been a gay anthem for 940 years?
Yes.
I mean, am I imagining that, or is that?
No, you're not. Okay. Absolutely not. You're not. So now imagine that with the news this week.
Yeah, Brown Sugar.
That he won't say,
and then like,
play Brown Sugar.
And then the game will be Fox News gets the one black person who went to the rally. Are you offended by Brown? No, I love it. I want more of it. Please. God, I love Donald Trump. I want to hear Brown Sugar over and over. Yes.
Yes.
That's the game that you play.
Yes. Yes.
That's the game that you play. Speaking of gay, this one has really triggered some folks on the right. The new Superman coming out as bisexual in an upcoming comic. You've seen that idiot Dean Cain, who actually portrayed the Man of Steel for about 4.5 seconds. Saying that it's not right, it's not brave, it's stupid, and various people have been they're very upset about this. There are a lot of people that are for some reason very upset about a fictitious character becoming fake bisexual and making out with somebody that he works with. I don't know. this is a huge issue for Donald Trump's America.
I don't know.
When the red states secede,
I know, but I think there can be. A non-hysterical case to be made.
Please.
That since 1930 or whenever those guys from Cleveland came up with Superman, okay?
Yeah. Siegel and Schuster were their names.
Right. And he's been a red-blooded American hero who pursued Lois Lane incompetently as Clark Kent all this time. And there was never any hint that he was anything other than that. I'm not quite sure that it was, how would you say, necessary for him to change his sexual orientation.
Well, this was the new
85 years in.
This is the new Superman. This is like Laura. This is Lois Lane and Clark Kent's son. This is the guy who was taken over and donned, and he is the new Superman.
Oh, so this isn't Superman. This is their kid.
This is not Clark Kent.
Well, that's completely different because you know what? It could be, you know, at Thanksgiving dinner, there was that moment where Superman and Lois are sitting there with their son. And as always, it's at Thanksgiving. Mom, Dad, I have something to tell you. And of course, the kid starts to tell them. And of course, they knew all the time. It was never talked about. And everything is just fine. So I completely take back everything I said.
I thought this was
taking the original Superman character
after
all this time and having him decide that he wasn't what you thought he was. That's different. I'm cool.
You saw the politician in Arizona, she's like a state senator or something. She said, "Superman loves Lois Lane." That was her typo. on Twitter, and she puts it out there. It's always been that way, and people like dragged her forever about this. The other big deal that they've been making a huge deal about this is this Marine officer pleading guilty to 6 misdemeanors for critiquing the Afghanistan withdrawal. This is a guy that was thrown in the brig and briefly became a bit of a cause celeb among the Fox News crowd, but then they dug down deep, and he said publicly, this guy, I think his name is Stuart Scheller, he thinks Donald Trump divided America. So they haven't been running the ball quite as hard as they could have been for this guy, because he's made that statement, of course, about the greatest president, your favorite president, Brad, Donald John Trump Sr.
Huh. Yeah. Well, I have to admit that I don't know that much about this story. So in a shocking moment on the Brad and Britcast, I have no comment because I don't know enough. But I'm guessing, right, I'm just guessing without knowing any facts that the right-wingers apparently thought they had something.
And they didn't.
And now they're running in the other direction because he wasn't quite the pure whack job that they hoped he would be in favor of what they want, which is to bash Joe Biden at every stand. Is that about right?
That's somewhat exactly what's going on. Scheller was charged this month on 6 counts of violating the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Those charges included contempt toward officials, disrespect toward superior commissioned officers, willfully disobeying a superior commissioned officer, failure to obey orders, and various other ones. And he was completely thrown. But he was, again, for a hot minute, he was part of he was a hero to those who would chant, well, fuck Joe Biden at SEC football games. I'm assuming that's going to happen again this weekend.
Right. Well, remember, you got to feed the beast. You got to have a new avatar for your views. You need a new culture war thing day after day after day. I mean, you can only get enough blood out of the Madison Cawthorn stone or the Marjorie Taylor Greene stone so much, and you need new ideas. And this looked for a moment like they might have something there, but they don't.
I'm going to go ahead and throw something else on you that you may not be aware of, and I'll try to educate you a little bit. Are you familiar with Let's Go Brandon? Are you familiar with this chant being? You know about this?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I do know that this is where at the end of the race, was this like 2 weeks ago?
It was in Talladega, and it was not the big race that was won by Bubba Wallace, becoming an African-American to win a race at Talladega, a place where he said he was intimidated by a noose a couple of years ago. This was an Xfinity race won by Brandon. Xfinity is like the AAA, the junior varsity to the Cup Series. This Brandon fellow was being interviewed.
Oh, so this is more than I know then, because I only know about the Bubba Wallace, where he pretended that that's what they were yelling when he knew full well what they were yelling.
The female reporter was interviewing Brandon, who had won the race, the Xfinity race, and the crowd is like, fuck Joe Biden. So she goes, well, you can hear the crowd here. They're chanting, let's go, Brandon. Back to you guys in the booth. And that's become the cause celebrity. So they're selling T-shirts on right-wing websites to raise money for various causes that say, let's go, Brandon, as a proxy for fuck Joe Biden. Basically, that's what it is.
Again, this has about the half-life of, you know, a fingernail. So this will last about a minute. You know, this is Pepe the Frog. This is all that. The stuff comes and goes.
But I'm telling you, I really believe this is a moment of inflection for John Gruden. And here's why. Because you can embrace that you've become somewhat of a hero and a martyr to the cancel culture. And you can go and you can suck Mike Lindell's dick, you homophobe John Gruden. You can go make appearances with him, try to get on Newsmax, try to sell T-shirts, try to get on Barstool Sports, try to be Clay Travis's best friend. Or you can do what you kind of hinted that you were going to do. Maybe go get some therapy. Maybe figure out why you're such an awful person. Maybe you can try to figure out and go away from the public eye and do some serious self-examination on what the fuck is wrong with you. This is the point in your life right here, John Gruden.
I get it. I think he's going to disappear for a long time.
I would love to see it.
And you know why? Because, you know, of course, he's lost every endorsement that he ever had. I think Skechers dropped him. And nobody wants to be.
This man used to do commercials for Corona. Back when he was with ESPN, he was doing Corona fucking commercials. I mean, the stuff that Tony Romo does now. He had some huge accounts.
Right. He had big money. So I'm guessing, unless he's stupid, and he's not a stupid guy, that it isn't a question of he has to get right back out there, whatever there is, and whore himself out for cash. Most people aren't as pathetic as Trump. okay? I think there's a lot of things that are underneath the surface that are coming out over time and will come out probably long past our natural lifetimes, Britt, about how phony and what a fraud he was, which I guess will never convince certain people. It doesn't matter what the facts are.
No.
But it looks to me like that every day when the news hits about something financial related to Trump, it makes it clear that he doesn't have any money.
Yeah,
he doesn't have cash, because this whole story that's circulating now about the hotel scam.
Yes.
That's right. It was the hotel scam in New York, or in Washington, down from the White House, where there he was as his own landlord, illegally, against every rule that's ever been devised in the last 100 years about conflicts of interest by high government officials in securing that lease before he was president for the old post office that got converted into the hotel, but that he signed up like a 100-year lease with the federal government. All this bullshit, just bullshit. Meantime, like everything that Trump actually runs, and I guess his company really did run this hotel, they ran it into the ground. They lost tens of millions of dollars each year. But what did we know? We were shown news stories. We were presented with, oh, he is tunning it. He's charging all these high rates. You
Correct.
Know, when Saudi Arabia comes and they book four floors for $1 million a night, you know, he's tunning it. And so he made it appear, and he didn't care that it was corrupt. He didn't care that everyone knew it was illegal and unethical, but he made it appear he did it again. That guy is so smart. Look what he's done with that hotel. Oh, my. And it's a mile away from the White House. How good is it? And of course, that wasn't true. It was not true. He's not even a good criminal.
No.
He's not even a good crook.
He's a bad liar, and he's a bad crook all the way around. The deal they're saying now could be $370 million to sell the lease on that thing. That's the Washingtonian saying that. Finally, the name Trump would be taken off of that building.
Yeah. Well, guess
Who's
what?
I would remind
everybody. Let me play a game here with you, Britt. Let's play low. Okay. How much lower than $370 million?
Yeah.
Is going to be the final price for Marriott or Hyatt or you know, name the company, Wyndham, whatever, the big company. They're going to take that off his hands. You think that they're going to pay his asking price? He's desperate for cash.
Absolutely.
He is desperate for
because that cash. vodka didn't sell in the water and steaks and the university and everything.
And from what I understand, this is just to buy out the lease for 100 years. It's like a 100-year lease.
That's what it is.
So, but of course, when there's a story, it has to be a big number.
Yeah.
It has to look big, has to look important.
And they run with it too.